Welcome to Red, White, and Brown, the podcast that discusses the interesting upbringing of Desi Americans and what happens when Eastern culture meets the Western world. I'm Prereq.
And I'm Sophia, and we're both first-generation Desi Americans. Today, we're going to talk about diet and exercise in Desi culture.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here, and so we're going to start by discussing the Desi diet and comparing its pros and cons to other cuisines, and then from there, we'll discuss cultural attitudes towards exercise in Desi culture.
Okay.
And we'll end by discussing the implications of these topics on future and current Desi American life. So why don't we start with diet? Prereq, can you tell me what a typical diet in your household looked like when you were growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this topic is going to be really fun. My perspective on Desi diet is limited because I will say I don't cook all that much. And to this day, even in medical school, I don't cook all that much. But I've been an avid consumer of food, which is probably the most important part in Desi food. So I'm from Gujarat. And so we have a lot of traditional Gujarati food that I ate growing up. And I think the formula that I usually take away from Gujarati food is that almost every meal will have like roti, dal, sabji, and rice. And I think this formula can be like extrapolated to most brown cultures where I think the only thing that differs is like the type of dal you have, the sabji that you have. But for most parts, every like Desi diet tends to have like roti and rice. For those of you listening who don't know what dal and sabji are, so dal usually is like some sort of like liquid that can include beans and it kind of like sounds like soup.
Like lentils.
Yeah, it's like lentils, but it sounds like a soup equivalent in US. And sabji is more of like some sort of cooked vegetable. And the roti is like a tortilla. And that's pretty much like what a meal in my household would be growing up. Like those three things, usually with rice at the end. What about you?
So you guys are Gujarati, so you ate vegetarian, right?
That's true. Yeah.
That's what it sounds
like. I should have
like.
Included that. Yeah. I was mostly vegetarian food.
So my family's not Hindu and we did not really eat like only vegetarian food. We did obviously eat vegetables, but, we also ate meat. So, and growing up, like my parents cooked all sorts of cuisines, but I would say at least 50% of the meals that they cooked were still Desi. And that would involve either rice or roti, not both, but like one or the other, and then some sort of meat and or vegetable that had been cooked down in like maybe some stew type of format. But I think the point is like all of these foods were cooked down. Like Desi food in general, whether you eat vegetarian or whether you eat meat, is like it's cooked. There's a lot of spices.
What do you mean by cooked down?
Like, it's not raw, right? Like, all of the vegetables and stuff that we're eating, they're cooked for a long time. They're cooked in oil and with a lot of spices. And, like, in order to let the spices really, like, marinate the foods, I think Desis cook their food for longer than people in other cultures do.
I never thought about that. Yeah. And then you said only 50% of your food was Desi, right? What was the other 50% usually?
Yeah, my parents would cook things from other cuisines as well. Like they would make like Italian food, they would make like try to make Thai food, which would like come out half Desi and like be like some fusion.
Ambitious, yeah, that always happens.
Yeah, we had a lot of fusion in my house because I feel like whatever my parents cooked, like it still had a bit of like a kick to it.
So but that's probably because you were born here, right? Like your parents had been here for a while.
Oh yeah, my parents.
As opposed to me, I got here when I was like six.
So
I think for
so
us, a lot of the early meals were purely Indian because that's all we knew was existed.
No, that makes sense. And then the other thing I would say is like salad is not that much a part of the Desi diet. Like when I was growing up, we would eat salad like on the side of our meals, but it wasn't usually like the main part of the meal, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I would definitely agree with that. I think my mom only started venturing into the zone of salads after we'd been in the U.S. for like 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And she started realizing it was a thing here. But back in Ahmedabad, we definitely didn't have salad explicitly. And now, even when we did have it here in the States, it was a side meal at most. And it would be something I would eat before. And she'd be like, okay, here's everything else that you now have to eat, which was the roti sabji dal. Afterwards. So it was definitely never the headliner of the meal. That's for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, we now know that eating fresh fruits and vegetables and stuff is pretty much like the healthiest thing you can do for yourself.
Yes.
And diets like, you know, the Mediterranean diet or even like the Japanese diet, which have been pretty heavily studied and have been shown to improve health outcomes, they're really centered around eating balanced diets. But like also a lot of fresh produce, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And I'd say for anyone who doesn't know what the Mediterranean diet is, which I didn't before we did this episode, it's usually just centered around like vegetables, fruits, herbs, nuts, involves moderate amount of like dairy, poultry, eggs, and not much red meat. So it's kind of like the opposite, I'd say, of what a desi diet is, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I cannot think of many desi foods that are centered around vegetables and herbs and, like, not as much carb, you know? Like, our food is all carbs, I feel like.
Which is true, 100%. And especially as a vegetarian, I think of that a lot more because what is my source of protein? I need to be very explicit about that.
Yeah, like probably just lentils and stuff for the most part.
And almost everything else, like rice is carbs, roti is carbs. Sometimes the dal is purely like carbs too. And so at the end of the day, you're like trying to get some protein somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So it's tough. And I feel like part of that is just like what people could afford in like back home and probably like whatever, you know, whatever foods grew in the climate. Like they used to grow a lot of rice, so people ate rice. Like that's just how it was. But yeah, it's definitely like not the healthiest, I would say.
So it just seems like it's a function of like the culture that existed at the time. And like whatever Desi culture was in that area, you kind of modified the foods to kind of fit that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we've talked a bit about diet. And to summarize, I think both of us can agree like Desi foods in our households were very similar with the roti sabji dal. Mm-hmm. I don't think you ever commented on that. Was it similar for you?
So we would either have roti or rice, not both.
Mm.
And then either like, yeah, there would usually be like one sort of, I don't know, main like cooked thing, whether that was a vegetable or dal or meat or whatever.
Interesting. So. Okay, so slimmer. So we talked about everything going in to a Desi diet, but now let's talk about how we're going to burn that off. Because I think that's the second part of today's conversation, which is exercise. Exercise and Desi culture, oh man, we can go on for days about this because I think both of us are relatively active. Mm-hmm. So we both have clearly a lot of opinions on this. But what was the exercise environment in your home, Sophia? Were you pushed to exercise? Did anyone else in your home exercise explicitly that kind of influenced you? Or was it a mixture of both?
Yeah, so I will say that in my home, exercise was kind of like I realize now it was sort of like a gendered thing. Like my dad works out every day and he has like since before I was born.
That is not a typical brown dad.
It is not. No, it's not. He used to be like just a super buff guy, not quite like a bodybuilder, but just like he was always into working out and like strength training and all of that stuff, and he's still into that, but you know, obviously he's older now, so he doesn't look the same as when he was younger. But you know, yeah, I know that's not common, and like none of my Desi friends' dads were like that.
100% not
common. It's not common. Yes. No. And then my mom on the other hand was busy raising us, and like, you know, my dad I guess had the luxury of going to the gym like literally every day. And my mom would take care of my brother and I, and like, I guess that's not really fair, but that's just how it was. So she was not going to the gym, but you know, even if she did have more free time, I'm not really sure she would have used it going to the gym. Like she was always pretty thin. And like she
genetically gifted.
Yes. and then when my brother and I were growing up, so I feel like my parents did push me to exercise, but not that much, like not to the point of like joining a sport in school. Like they were just like, okay, focus on school. Like sports aren't that important. Like I used to do some extracurricular sports growing up, but it would be like going to a lesson once a week, not like playing on the varsity team.
So they never really explicitly like pushed you into doing sports, but they kind of just had it there to make sure you were like taking care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
And then when my younger brother was growing up, my dad got him into fitness from a really young age. And so my brother is 17, and he has had six-pack abs for the last few years, like since he was 14.
Is that a direct correlation with because of your dad, you think?
Yeah, my dad got him into working out. Like he would take him to the fitness room in our building and like teach him all these exercises.
Did he ever do that to you?
No.
Interesting.
Never. And so that's why I say it was kind of a gendered thing, because like my brother has been working out consistently since he was like 13 years old.
Interesting.
And so all of this to say, my dad and brother are really into fitness,
and then
my
buff.
they're pretty buff. And my mom and I were never that much into it, but I mean now I am into it, but that was kind of after I moved away from home. How about you?
Well, I mean, before we get into me, you said that your dad would often go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Was it because he was already out of the house because he was working, or was it actually like he made time to...
No, he made time to go to the gym.
Interesting.
He has a few friends who also go with him to the gym. And so, like, on weekends, they would go together. It was just... yeah, he made time for it. It wasn't just like something he did on the way home or something like that. It was...
That's astounding.
Yeah, it was like really important for him.
That's definitely not how my household was, and it's also probably not how most people listening's household was, I'm assuming.
No, not at all.
Because most Indian uncles we know are like, gym, what's gym?
Yeah.
So in my house, like, exercise was... You know, not present explicitly. I think it was almost always there in the background. Like, I kind of had the same thing that you did, where my dad would sign me up for, like, tennis lessons because he wanted me to get into tennis. And I think he was, like, kind of projecting on me because he always loved tennis, but he never really played it well.
Classic.
And I didn't like tennis purely because I was like, what is this? I don't want to do it. But it was just something I had to go to. So, I think otherwise, exercise mostly for me came in the form of playing with my friends every day. Mm-hmm. So we lived in San Jose. There was a lot of people in my apartment complex. So I would just make it a point to hang out with them. And that's where the implicit exercise came in. But unlike you, I never really had anyone in my family who exercised a lot or even went to the gym. It's only actually recently that my mom started going to the gym. And she did that, like, after having been here for, I'd say, almost 10 to 12 years. And I'd say, for me, my evolution was just personally on my own after I got into college, much like you.
Got it. And, like, did this sort of change as you grew up? Like, did your parents, have they changed since being in the States?
So I'd say not particularly. I will say both my parents take a lot more interest in their own health now. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a direct function of two things. The first one is, like, they're starting to get older, so they start seeing the effects on their own health. And the second one is America. I, like, do think that the culture that we live in here emphasizes self-care a lot. Yeah. To the point that, like, you know, some people, the new Apple campus by my house now is built, and it takes 20 minutes to get from the parking lot to the campus itself. And they did that as a way to incentivize their workers to, like, exercise. Wow. So I think in general, like, America is clearly has a bigger emphasis, I think, on moving. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, in India, I don't think my dad ever would walk more than, like, 5 steps without getting on his, like, kinetic and, like, going wherever he needed to go. So those two things have made them a bit more aware, like, health. So for my dad, he tries to walk, like, 10,000 steps a day because he wants to be cardiovascularly fit.
Yeah.
And my mom got a gym membership, you know, in recent years and goes there. So I'm actually proud of both of them. But that was never something that would have happened 10, 15 years ago. What about you? Has your household stayed the same in terms of, like, your dad being the macho fit man and your mom being mostly at home?
Well, so I think as my parents have gotten older, they have both become more health conscious as well, similar to your family.
Mm-hmm.
So now my parents will go for, like, these daily power walks together at night. It's really cute. And my mom exercises more than she used to. I feel like, honestly, she was just so thin, like, just throughout my whole childhood. She never really had to work that hard. And now, like, as she's getting older, she's kind of, like, making more of an effort to work out and, like, maintain her shape.
Well, that is interesting, though, because you don't necessarily... And I think this says a lot about brown culture, too, because I was always told, like, exercises to keep your body, like, ideal. Actually, not just brown culture, even in America in general.
Yeah.
People are like, exercise to lose weight.
Yeah, it's like, about how you look,
exactly.
Right? It's not about, like, doing it to...
lose
just
weight.
Be healthy.
Exactly. When in reality, like, everyone should be exercising. Like, if you're really skinny, there's other ways to exercise that could be more beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're already, like, not skinny, then exercising might help you lose weight, but that shouldn't be your primary motivation, I don't think.
Right. Basically, what you're saying is even people who are thin should still be active.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. I think we all agree. But yeah, so they also try to have, like, a healthier diet and stuff. So that's that. So Priyak, question for you. If you had to sort of rate the importance of exercise compared to, like, academics as you were growing up, how, like, where did exercise fall?
So I think they actually fell, like, probably in line with one another. I think, one, I'm an exception in the sense that I feel like I kind of liked academics, so I never really let them slip. Mm-hmm. So my parents were never really on my butt about it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, if I wanted to go outside, I think we talked about this on a previous episode about parenting. Like, mm-hmm. my mom might, like, you know, hit my hand and say, no, you can't leave until you study. But at the end of the day, she would still let me go and hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
But I will say a lot of my friends have had not the same experience, where it's like very obvious that academics comes first and that they can't really go out and play, they can't really do sports, whatever, especially if it comes at the expense of academics. Like, for example, I had a friend who, like, hey, I want to do cross country. And the moment he started doing it and his parents started noticing, like, his grades slipping, they would, like, completely, like, kind of become a little bit more unsupportive.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's clearly something that I think a lot of people listening might relate to, but yeah. I don't know. What about you?
No, I totally agree with you. Like, for me and, like, in my family, academics definitely came first. Like, I think my parents were encouraging of working out, but not to the point where they would have supported me joining a sports team and, like, going for sports practice every day.
Really?
Yeah. They were just like, yeah, you should do some exercises at home, but, like, you should be studying. Like,
wow.
Because it is a really big commitment, right, to do sports even in high school, yeah, where you have to go for the practice and the training and, like, all that stuff.
But so, what if you really liked a sport? Like, what if you love swimming and that was, like, your main social, like, how you made all your friends and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have found myself in that situation because I just never would have joined. I never would have joined it in the first place.
Interesting. So that was never even an option for you?
No, not really.
You never even considered it?
No. Wow. Not really. Okay. Not really. And, I mean, I think we kind of have different situations because I grew up in a city. Mm. So there wasn't that much of a culture of, like, go outside and play because it's like, you're not surrounded by parks. You're surrounded by buildings this and, like, Chicago, cars. Right? Yeah, yeah. And the second part is, like, my school was an hour away from where I lived.
Oh, wow.
So even if I did want to go, you know, like, join a sports team and go for training and stuff, like, logistically it would have been challenging, right? Because mm-hmm. going for training, like, at 6 a.m. before school starts, like, I would have to leave my house
yeah.
at, like, 5 a.m. And, like, it was far, so my parents would drive me to school and, you know,
yeah.
this whole thing. So it was a little bit of, like, a different situation than I think you had, but no, yeah, they would not have been supportive of me joining, you know, a varsity or even, like, junior varsity sports team. Not at all.
Interesting.
So.
So I think we have pretty good different perspectives on this. So given all that we discussed, what do you think, and this is more broad picture now because we'll bring it back to being the AC American.
Yes.
What, like, setbacks do you think we faced because of these cultural expectations on diet and exercise? Which, let me, to, like, recapitulate, it seems like our diet is clearly not the healthiest. And in terms of exercise, even though you seem to have had a little bit of an anomaly with your father, it seems like in general exercise is not as big of a emphasis
yeah.
in Desi culture either. So what do you think these bigger implications have had on upbringing?
Yeah, as I've become more health conscious since moving away from home, I have realized that our Desi diet is almost like the opposite of what I strive to be eating on a daily basis.
So that's your biggest challenge?
Yes, that is the hardest part for me. Like, if I go to a Desi restaurant, then I pretty much know that I'm going to be eating a carb-heavy meal that's pretty oily, possibly fried. And I really struggle with that because there's not a ton of, like, healthy options in Desi food. Like, there's not a lot of Desi salads or things like that which would fit in with the way that I want to eat. And for me, that's the hardest part. And, like, that's the biggest challenge that I think I've inherited from, like, coming from a Desi culture and trying to be healthy. How about you? What do you think is the biggest challenge that you face?
I think the biggest challenge for me is the lack of emphasis on exercise. Like, I got into exercise pretty early on, but at least there's no one in my family who exercised that much when I was really into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely changing now. And I think, I don't know if it's a function of America, at least for my parents being mm-hmm. in America, but I think like even in India, I see a lot of my cousins making it a point to work out a lot more or like run or go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's happening in both places, which is great. But like at least 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
I think part of the thing in India, which I don't know if is exactly true, but part of it can maybe be explained with this aspect of like Bollywood, and I think how there's so much more of an emphasis on like muscles and like people looking extremely, extremely in shape.
Yeah.
I like watched Sholay the other day, and they don't make it a point to like show how ripped Amitabh Bachchan is in that movie.
Yeah. Right?
And he's like the protagonist in that movie. And now you watch any movie, it could be like a third class movie, and like
every two scenes the guys are like ripping their shirts off, like showing their muscles. Yeah.
And it's not even like an action movie, it's like a random movie about like a murder. And it's crazy how like they just have brought in the physique aspect into Bollywood now.
I totally agree with that.
On the diet side though, I don't know if I struggled with that as much as you, because it seems like maybe after you went off to college your preference on diet changed there. But for me, I had grown up eating this brown diet, and my preference for it never changed because I love the food. And I think that kind of makes sense, because I think from my personal experience, like food is like a non-negotiable part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad, my mom, everyone will be ready to take medications. They'll be willing to exercise more. But more often than not, like diet rarely changes. And I think the reason for that is we come from such a novel niche. Like we're vegetarian, but we still like eating like very spicy food sometimes. Mm-hmm. Food that has like very distinct taste. Because if you notice, Indians use such different spices. Like I never knew this many level of spices existed until I looked at my mom cook, and she has like 50 different colors of powders going into like one dish.
Absolutely.
And so I kind of get it, because I see where they're coming from, which is like if they want to replace this food with something else that's equally good, it's very hard. Like there's not many options out there for them. So I kind of see that, and I don't think I struggle with that as much. But I think at the same time, I take like an L because of that, because my diet is clearly not as good as yours is. But that's just a different path we took, I guess.
No, I totally hear you. Like, it's definitely tough to go from eating these like really spiced and flavorful foods to like, okay, like now eat a salad.
Exactly.
It's
but you made that transition. So I'm sure there's people listening who have gone either way, who have found that diet transition to be easy and that diet transition to be tough. But what about like, what did you think about the Bollywood thing?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I have a lot of opinions on Bollywood.
That's a future episode, we promise.
Yes. But yeah, I definitely agree that Bollywood is changing the norms. And I think it parallels Hollywood too, right? But I think the quote unquote, like desirable body type for women, at least in both Bollywood and Hollywood, you know, at one point it used to be like super curvy, then it transitioned to like rail thin, and now it's shifted to like this lean but you know still muscular and toned physique. And like I think that's the case in both Bollywood and Hollywood. And I think for males, like you're right, it didn't used to be like as much of an emphasis on muscles and stuff, but I think that was still not. I think that was still like the ideal though, you know. I don't think there was a point where having muscles was a bad thing for men.
Yes, but I think now it's getting like personified to the max. Like there's never a movie now where like a guy doesn't take off his shirt. Whereas like I'd say
for sure.
In 1980s, 1990s, anyone taking off their shirt would have been like unheard of in a Bollywood movie, you know?
No, I agree. I totally agree with you.
So I think, Bollywood definitely may be changing the norm there. And it's following Hollywood, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of good in the sense that like women now go to the gym and lift weights and strength train and do all these things a lot more than they ever used to. And like there's a lot of data on that, you know, like women joining gyms and doing strength training and stuff. And so like I think that's kind of a good thing, just because women are a little more active than before.
Fantastic.
So, okay, we kind of discussed, like, these setbacks that we feel like we've faced coming from Desi culture and trying to be fit and active and stuff. But what do you think has helped you try and become more healthy despite sort of, like, the cultural norms that we come from?
So I'll break my answer down first in terms of diet, and then we can talk about that. So in terms of diet, I think I mentioned it already. Diet is actually something I struggle with a lot. Anyone who knows me knows I don't eat the best. And primarily it's because, you know, I grew up and I loved Indian food. And then I went off to college and food for me had taken this place of being like the one time where you kind of sit down, you get to eat something delicious and just be there and, you know,
not study and enjoy
it. Like there was very rarely like a time when I like sat down to dinner and did not look forward to it. And so for me, food was like a positive and gratifying thing. And so trying diets and like trying to change it up, is something that I did try to do, but when I realized I didn't get the same like aspect of satisfaction from food that I got from eating like Indian food or like Mexican food that kind of tastes like the same level of savoriness and spiciness as Indian food.
Yeah.
Like for me, that was not like a trade-off I was willing to make. And so that's why like for diet, I don't think I've, you know, I don't think I eat particularly well. And that's still something that I don't know if I want to even change.
Primarily because don't tell your patients that.
Primarily because like Indian food is so good, you know? So I'd say like for me, food is just more of like a bright spot and something that I'm not willing to modify as much. And as I said, I think there are Desis out there for whom like food is like that one part of their day that like is reminding them of being Desi.
Yeah.
And it's a larger thing to try to change. And especially for me, I don't know if you've tried this. Eating healthy is hard. Like, it's super duper hard.
It's so hard, yeah.
And that's not to say, like, eating desi is not hard because I can't make chana bhatura on my own. But at the same time, like, let's say I wanted to change from eating, you know, what I usually eat to, like, eating salads. Like, it's higher cost. It takes more time to cook. It's more difficult to learn. And I just don't feel as motivated to try to change diet for some reason. I still can't quite figure out why, but like you tell me to like learn a new sport and I'd be more willing to do that than I would be to like try to eat a salad every day for the next month. And I don't entirely know why that is.
Well, I mean, I do agree with you that it's definitely difficult to eat healthy and to like eat clean, quote unquote. Like I did the Whole 30 diet. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, what is that?
It's basically like 30 days where you don't eat any processed foods, you don't eat any dairy, you don't eat any grains.
That's
you don't
ridiculous.
You don't eat any like processed sugars.
See how much work that is? I don't even know what dairy counts as. Or like what is
it
a grain?
It was so expensive to like follow that diet for that 1 month. It was really expensive because healthy food it's more costly and
Well, I mean, you clearly did it, right? So how did you adjust your diet since you moved away from, you know, Chicago and you started school and it seems like you had this catalyst that changed to you to eating a bit
more food? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but I've pretty much stopped eating desi food once I moved out of the house, except if I'm, like, celebrating something or, like, going for a special meal. Like, I would not necessarily eat my favorite desi foods on a daily or even weekly basis. And some people will like substitute white rice for brown rice or cauliflower rice or make modifications like that in order to make the desi food healthier and like to eat it on a daily basis. But for me, like desi food is always my cheat meal and like I don't even try to make it healthy, you know? Like
I'm with you on that. If you're going to eat desi food, go all the way. Don't bother trying to like make this half-assed crap.
No, I mean, I think that's like kind of how I've had to address the diet piece of it. Like I try to eat as many salads as I can. And, you know, I try to fill my salads with, like, nuts and cheese and whatever to, like, make it more filling. But I do eat salads rather than meals with a carbier base.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's kind of how I've had to, like, adjust my diet.
Maybe you can coach me through it one of these days.
Yes, we will do that offline. Okay, and then the other – so we kind of talked about diet, but the other part of it is exercise, right? So what have you done to stay active?
So I think I never really actively sought out being active. So as I said, for me, it kind of just came because that's the way my life was. Like I played outside with my friends, so I was just endogenously active. Then by the time I got to high school, I was in cross country. And I did cross country just to meet new people. And, you know, that became my source of friends. And from there, it evolved into the reason I became active. Like, I loved cross-country after that because it was where my friend group was. And so that's kind of how exercise implicitly for me changed, like, right then and there. To, like, hang out with my friends, to actually maintain my social circle in high school, I had to be active. And I'd say another way I've been kind of maintaining exercise, and the reason I give it the importantness, is that even a word?
No.
The reason I give it the
try again.
The reason I give it the priority that I give it is primarily because I'm also in medicine now, and I see mortality in a different light, and I start seeing just how big of a difference medicine can make, which I think is a little bit hypocritical because I think I can also see the difference diet can make, and I'm not willing to change that. But I think exercise for me is something that I'm like, wow, I do see it being something that like gives me ability to, you know, stay alive longer and be healthier. And that's one of the reasons I still try to exercise even when I have like 30 other things to do. In terms of you though, how have you done exercise, and how have you prioritized it, if you have?
Yeah, I have. So I started exercising like sophomore year of university, and I started out with the elliptical, but I gradually started doing more and more strength training. And you're going to be so proud of me, but last week I had my first session with a trainer.
For elliptical?
No, not the elliptical, like strength training.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
And like, I don't think it's sustainable to like pay a trainer consistently as a student, but like, basically I'm just learning more and more about strength training and like doing more of that than cardio. Whereas before I used to do all cardio because I was scared that if I did strength train, then I'd get like super muscular and look like a man.
Where did that conception come from?
No, I think a lot of women feel that way.
Like, interesting.
That, yeah, they're like nervous to lift weights and stuff because they don't want to look super bulky and like overly muscular. But
we talk about that more. Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know. I guess like probably just like throughout history / like the last, even like the last 50 years, women haven't done as much like strength training. Like exercise classes and stuff that are geared towards women are more focused on cardio and like ballet, like bar, dance routines, things like that. It's not as much just like straight like lifting weights, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But in the last like 5 to 10 years, I think it's become a lot more common for women to actually just like lift weights.
Yep. And we talked about that.
Yeah. And like, I guess I realized, like, I have to work so hard, and I'm lifting more than I ever thought I would be able to, and I don't even feel like I look that strong, you know? Like, it's hard to build muscle. If it was that easy that, like, you know, doing a little bit of strength training could, like, get you jacked, then, like, all the guys would be walking around, like, looking super jacked, right?
If only.
But, no, it's really hard, especially for women, just because of, like, hormones and stuff, right?
Absolutely.
It's not exactly easy to build that much muscle, but yeah, that's kind of like how my exercise journey has evolved.
Fantastic. And I think it parallels kind of what we talked about earlier with the changing notion of what's okay and what's not okay.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, do you want to talk about like what you think you're going to do like once you have a family and like how you're going to manage like food and exercise and all that? Like
with my kids?
Yeah, like with your kids, like when you grow up.
Yeah, what would my ideal situation look like?
Yeah.
So I think in many ways I'd keep things similar to how I was brought up. Like I love Indian food and I think that's such an important part of my heritage that I would want my kids to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Indian food would probably be in there. If I could find a way to make it better, like more healthy, Sophia, maybe you can come in and coach me. I would be willing to listen. But for the most part, I think diet would stay relatively similar, especially with the constraint of being vegetarian.
Yeah.
In terms of exercise, though, I'm definitely going to make it a point to like go out with my kids and like run around in the park once a week or like go out and teach them like the fundamentals of like, you know, like lifting or even just like playing on the monkey bars and things like that, which I think just implicitly doing that with your kids from an early age can set the tone as to like, this is what it means to be active and you should be doing these things every now and then.
Yeah.
What about you? How are you going to shape life as an Indian American woman or like, no, Pakistani American woman who's going to be eventually raising a family?
Yeah. So, I mean, I do agree with you that there's not really a good substitute for desi food. So I think I would probably just have like salads and fresh produce and like more of a Mediterranean style diet in my house. And then like when I have desi food, it's not going to be like trying to be health food. It's literally just going to be those dishes that are favorites.
Dank ass pav bhaji and chana bhatura.
No, I'm not Gujarati. So it's going to be biryani and like nihari, but that's fine. but yeah, I'm like not going to try to make it healthy. Like those are just going to be like fun meals that like everyone loves, but they're not the best for you, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I totally agree with you on the point about exercise and like trying to like incorporate that in early. I think that's really important.
Yeah. So there you have it, our insight into exercise and diet.
Yeah, I think we're definitely running over time, so we will wrap it up here. If you guys like what we're doing, please rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, screenshot, share with friends, share it on Instagram story. You can follow us at Red White Brown Pod.
Red White Brown Pod.
Yes.
Yes.
And yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you guys in the next episode.